Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome. Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air, and the fallout from yesterday continues to grow. If Rob Manfred, as the commissioner of baseball, was at the plate right now, he would have two strikes and absolutely positively no balls. Because just baseball is being dragged through the mud by the absolute disdain for the Houston Astros and their owner, who got roasted yesterday. Just roasted. Just tripped over himself, just blatantly lied. Oh, I never said that. You just said it 55 seconds ago, you idiot. And it just looks bad. They all said the same thing. Oh, we're remorseful. You know, instead of just saying, you know, we're sorry we did this. You know, sometimes when stuff happens, the best thing you can do is just get in front of it and go, you know what? We screwed up. This was bad. It was something systematic from the top to the bottom, from the players to the coaches to some coaches who did try to stop it and weren't successful, to myself. You know, just own it. You screwed up. You cheated. Just admit it and move on. And instead, that just terrible press conference and that lame apology, and it was just embarrassing yesterday. After I went home after the show yesterday and I sat down and I started watching it, I pulled it up on my laptop. And I started watching, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is just bad. This is awful. And it got to the point where, I'll be honest with you, it was awkward. Because you wanted to reach across the table and shake the guy and go, what are you talking about? You're lying on top of your lie. What the hell are you talking about? And that's how,
you know,
bad
our opinion is. You know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Then, not 55 seconds later, he said that. He said, "Well, I never said it didn't impact the game.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said." In his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
Yeah, so I didn't say that, but I said that. Just what an ass. Just if you have anything in your ability to tweet anything or write anything or post anything, just the negativity flying around about the Houston Astros, just pile on. And you know what? Hashtag or tag the commissioner as well. Because this has become just a joke. It's like the more people watch it, the more people get a sense as to what went on, the more seething baseball fans have become. And the outcry to demand some type of punishment is because he said the players have been punished enough, which, come on. You know, he said also, oh, well, there's not a culture problem here. I don't think we have that.
He mentioned, you know, the culture in the organization. I don't totally 100% agree with that.
No.
I think we did have some problems. The leader of the organization that reported up into was dismissed. I think we have some work to do there. But
yeah.
I can assure you clearly, with James' help, and I will be more involved in overseeing it to make sure we have all the controls in place. This will never happen again, and it won't happen again on my watch.
Yeah, well, just like your assistant general manager was yelling at female reporters in the locker room, then the investigation had to end before we got into guys with buzzers It's the Houston, and then also don't forget the Houston Astros going back some years was accused of tapping phones almost. I mean, just this has just been a bad organization.
No, I don't think I should be held accountable. I'm here to correct it, and I'm here to take this team forward with Dusty and James. And as I said, it won't happen again on my watch.
Well, you're the owner. So unless you sell the team or you're forced to sell the team, you're full of crap.
How did he not know?
He knew. I mean, just he's an embarrassment. He just really is. He's just an embarrassment.
Last month, when MLB announced the penalties to the Houston Astros, I issued an apology to our fans and the city of Houston. I want to say again how sorry our team is for what happened. I want to also repeat that this will never happen again on my watch.
So I really liked the end of his press conference when there was the back and forth. He ended up talking with a reporter, and there was a back and forth where he was apologizing. The Q&A was basically, well, if you didn't do anything wrong and you're apologizing, but yet it didn't impact the game and your players are being publicly, you know, praised, then what are you apologizing for?
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
What an idiot. What an idiot. Holy mackerel. Just... Oh, man.
Okay, and now let's get to the players, because Alex Bregman, listen to how much of a robot this dude sounds.
Oh, yeah, listen to this.
Listen to this.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I have learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season.
The pendulum. What is it? What is it? Is it a pendulum? What is the thing when you put it on a piano as you're playing piano and it ticks back and forth so you keep the beat?
Oh, I
know exactly what it is.
I was a percussionist for 7 years.
Metronome?
I know.
A metronome?
Metronome.
Metronome.
Yes,
okay,
metronome.
It's a metronome.
Yeah.
It's a metronome. Play that again. Listen to this.
I'm really sorry
Tick.
About the choices
Talk.
That were made
Tick.
By my team,
Talk.
By the organization,
Tick.
And by me.
Talk.
I've learned
Tick.
From this, and I hope
Talk.
To regain the trust of baseball
Tick.
Fans. I would
Talk.
Also like to
Talk.
Thank the Astros fans
Tick.
For all of their support.
Talk.
We as a team
Tick.
Are totally
Talk.
Focused on
Tick.
Moving forward to
Talk.
The 2020 season.
Hot cross buns.
What a moron. What a well-written by some PR jag statement. Just, God, I hope the Astros don't win a damn game this season. I really do. I hope that there's beanballs in the back and the butts flying, and it just, oh, man. Justin Verlander said that, at least he said, I wish I would have said, hey, guys, cut that out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult showing up and in 2017, and you know, once I spent some time there, understood what was happening. I wish I had said more. You know, looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more, and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
Why didn't you?
Because his team was winning.
Justin Verlander.
They're justifying it all the way to the ring. You know, it just bad. Josh Reddick. That's what happened.
We are sorry for what we did and how it was handled and how it wasn't handled at times as well. So it is what it is. It happened. And we ask for the forgiveness of everybody, and we just move on and try to move forward to 2020 and focus on winning.
So in other words, please don't talk about it anymore. We're tired of talking about it, you know. Okay.
We'll try to win one the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. Jose Altuve says, we're just not bad people.
I guarantee you this is not going to happen again. You know, yes, we made a mistake. We did what we did. But that doesn't make us a bad person. You know, like, we're going to learn from this, and we're gonna move forward.
We're not bad persons. So, Jose Altuve. Carlos Correa, he said we could have stopped Beltran if, well, yeah, here it is.
The thing I have a problem with is, when I read that report is that we were scared of him or we felt intimidated. We didn't feel scared of Beltran. We feel intimidated. He was the nicest guy that we could ever have. He was the best teammate we've ever had. Beltran was obviously a leader of the clubhouse, but we all had a say in everything that we were doing in there. And, you know, whatever he said and whatever we were doing, we had the chance to stop it as a team. Everybody had the chance to say something, and we did it. So whoever the anonymous source is that's saying that we felt intimidated or we were too young to say something, that's just straight up. Beltran didn't intimidate nobody. Beltran's the nicest guy. And I know in Puerto Rican people will say, oh, he's just trying to protect him, but you can talk to every single guy here that was in 2017. Beltran is an unbelievable gentleman. He's a straight up gentleman, and nobody, not even you guys, nobody will feel intimidated by his presence, by his leadership, and whatever he has to say. He showed us how to play baseball hard. He was a veteran. He was inspiring whenever we were slumping. He was there for us. So I don't see a person that's your mentor and is there for you when you're struggling as an intimidating person.
So there you have it. The Astros craptastic apology, which was just pathetic and awful.
Okay, so this was Sean Manea, who plays for the A's, you know, who has to deal with the Astros so many times during the season. This is what Sean Manea had to say about everything that went down yesterday.
Honestly, they haven't owned up to any of their actions. The way they've handled things is not right. You know, nothing's happened to them, and they're just skating on by, and you know, they're just kind of going about their business, which is, to me, isn't right. They cheated. They've cheated the game. They've cheated us as players. It's that they can't take responsibility for their actions and you know, try to make things better. Instead, so they're just sweeping things under the rug and you know, just doing their own thing, and to me that just doesn't sit right.
Starts at the top. Their owner is a moron, and we just wait for the next scandal to happen.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically,
just unbelievable. Just it didn't impact the game. You know, no, it impacted the game.
Last month, when MLB announced the penalties to the Houston Astros, I issued an apology to our fans and the city of Houston. I want to say again how sorry our team is.
Yeah, we're sorry. We're sorry we got caught. There you have it. That's about it.
I'm really sorry.
You know what? What really bothers me about all of this is the commissioner. The baseball's commissioner, just like I said, if he was standing at the plate right now, two strikes, absolutely, positively, no balls. That's just none. Didn't want to take it on publicly, didn't want to go after the players, just didn't, it's tragic that the players are allowed to just kind of go about their business and do their own thing. All they got to do is come out, answer a few questions, and call it a day. And that's about the extent of it.
Listen, the commissioner made it clear that it wasn't going to go backwards. The championship would stay intact, and I agree with him.
There you go. He agrees with him. Sure he does. Wouldn't doubt that one bit. Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. Hey, if you're looking to purchase a new home or just, like yours truly, refinance a home, whatever it is you need to do that, our good friends over there at Team Hochberg, David Hochberg and the whole group, they are just here to help. I mean, that's what they're looking to do. I mean, they just want to get you into the best possible situation and save you money, whether it's a refinance to, you know, kind of combine credit cards or to pay off a bill, or maybe you just want to save some money each and every month. And everybody needs to do that every now and then. Just kind of look at what your finances are and, you know, are you giving away free money? That's what I'm going with right now. And I'm talking to my friends over there at Team Hochberg and the loan officer, Scott Ellis, and
they're getting me into the financial situation that it makes me even more comfortable. I appreciate the fact that they're there and they say this is what we can do, and they're doing everything they can to get it done. 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-563-2843. 855-563-2843. Myself and a bunch of you. I mean, you know what it's like. For those of you that have used David Hochberg's services, they're just great people. And just go ahead and give them a buzz and see if they can help you out, whether it's a reverse mortgage, whether it is a refi, or maybe it's your first mortgage. Who knows? Maybe they can help you out in that way as well. And this is after I went to the traditional way with the bank to say, hey, can we do this? And they said, I don't think we can do this for a while. And then they said, no, baby, no, we can get you done. So I went to Team Hochberg, and sure enough, they did exactly what they said they would do, get you done. 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-563-2843. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061. Just give them a call. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Maybe if you steal a sign, somebody could steal a sign and hit the ball, and maybe it could possibly not, but it didn't affect anything, but we're sorry, so yeah.
It just, you know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. In other words, the ends justifies the means, and we'll leave it at that. Yeah. See, to me, if you really want to hit them hard, if you're the commissioner, just vacate the World Series. You vacate it, and the money goes back. You withdraw the money. You say, nope, you don't get your World Series check. You cheated. Or at least for the games that were played in Houston, you vacate the checks for the cheating, and you the rings go back. Go collect everybody's ring and say you're sorry about your luck. You know, to me, that's the biggest. That would be the humiliation of what you did and what you allowed to go on. That way you're not suspending players, but every player that won a ring has to give the ring back and say, here you go. You can't wear it around in public. You can't walk around going World Series champion, none of that, because you cheated. So, and quite frankly, at this point, if you're a Houston Astro, you're probably, you know, unless you're a bullpen pitcher or something like that, which, you know, I would assume you knew, But even then, you know, it's kind of like, sorry about your luck. You were part of a team that, you know, this certainly will send the loud salvo over the bow of any other team considering any type of cheating where players in the clubhouse know about it. Where if you do have any success at all and you get caught, the success is going to be short term because you're going to be way too humiliated to walk around wearing a ring. You know, and everybody talks about, well, I want to show it to my kids and their grandkids. And give it back. Make them give it back, you know. You can call yourself World Series champions, that's fine. But vacate the championship and give the rings back and give the money back. Then you're remorseful. Otherwise, you're just justifying the end. That's it.
Or you could just take their contracts away and say, hey, you're not going to get a paycheck for 6 months. How does that feel?
Yeah, you know, suspension, I wouldn't mind that at all either, which is the reason I said that Rob Manfred has completely botched this and walks away looking like a spineless, gutless coward.
I wouldn't even say suspension. I'd say, yeah, you're going to go play for free. But you're not going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And I know the players' union would never go for that.
No, they would never do that.
But you know what? If you really want to have these guys, like, stop, just take their money away.
Yep.
Take their millions and millions of dollars. Just take it away from them. You're not getting a paycheck.
No,
I
agree.
You're going to go out there and play. You aren't going to get paid for it.
Completely agree. That to me would be the ultimate gotcha, but unfortunately, like I said, the Players Association, this is another reason I hate the Players Association, because they'll fight for this kind of garbage, and they'll fight for the roster of the Astros, and they'll do it under the guise of, well, we'll fight for one, we'll fight for all, but you're actually harming the other constituents in your own union. You know, you're basically endorsing cheating against, say, guys that made it to the majors and then got sent back to the minors because, say, they were a AAA pitcher that came up, had a couple of successes, and then faced the Astros, and you got shelled, and then you ended up getting sent back down. That's your career, man. Let's go to Mark listening to us in Wausau. Mark, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Good.
What's up?
How are you doing?
Good, man. What's happening?
In regards to what you're just talking about, you know, Pete Rose, what did he do? What did he do on a game?
Yes.
Yeah, he got banished from baseball.
Yep.
So what was his impact when we're talking about what there really wasn't an impact, right? So he impacts the game by what? None of the other guys were in on it.
Correct.
So he can only influence the outcome of the game in the batter's box by himself. These guys were doing it as a team. And what could Pete Rose do? Strike out intentionally? He couldn't intend.
No, Pete Rose did it as a manager, not as a player. He was betting on his team to win.
So he's what? Putting that in a position? I honestly don't follow baseball, but I don't see how the Players Association can back these guys as a whole and not look at what they've done in the past for other people. What, I mean, big deal. So you wager on a game, these guys are intentionally cheating.
Right.
And nothing's going on.
Here's the question, and Mark, I appreciate it because you make me think. So thanks for giving me a buzz. Is this as bad as the Black Sox scandal, where a team took money to take a dive? Where in this particular case, a team went through the process of installing cameras, creating signals, putting somebody behind in the clubhouse so they could see what the pitch was going to be, so they could then cheat to beat a team? Is this as bad as the Black Sox scandal? Think about that. I mean, they didn't take money to take a dive. It might not be on that same level, but it's pretty damn close. 855-830-8648. You know who we're going to ask? We're going to ask Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. Going to talk a little Brewers baseball coming up, and we'll talk a little bit more about this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. They not only have great fuel, they now have, in many locations, chicken. I'm not kidding. Chicken, not available in all the stores yet, but chicken, fried chicken, delicious hand-breaded fried chicken, right there at Quick Trip just for you, hot and ready, whether it's two-piece dark meat, two-piece white meat, or if you got the family portions, the eight-piece chicken, the three-piece chicken tenders, eight-piece chicken tenders, the sides with mashed potatoes and gravy and potato wedges and mac and cheese, the whole thing, all from our friends at Quick Trip. Stop in and check it out for yourself, and if they don't have it, keep looking. Because it's probably coming really soon to a store near you. More of the Bill Michaels Show with Tim Allen coming up next. Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We are glad you are here on this February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Pizza Del Rey. Go get yourself a pizza. Share a meal. Maybe some of that Mike Clemens tremendously accoladed pudding that they have there on the buffet. North Hastings Way in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Say hi to JR and the whole staff. And then if you're going to get maybe a giant heart-shaped canvas made of something to put over your boat or maybe as a canopy somewhere, I'm sure our buddy Dwayne at Dwayne's Cover It All in Wausau, he can help you out. Go to Dwayne's, D-U-A-N-E-S, Dwayne's Cover It All in Wausau, and stop in and tell him we sent you. And if you're going to give anybody a hug, give Gus a hug. That's his dog. Gus is just a beautiful dog. I see pictures of him all the time. As you know, Dwayne's sitting there working and doing leather work or, you know, canvas or upholstery or canopy work or whatever it happens to be for whatever business. And he's always got a picture of his dog next to him. So say hi to Gus when you stop in. Another guy that we like to give a hug to every now and then, now that Punxsutawney Phil has showed his shadow, and here comes baseball, it's Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. How you doing today, Tim?
Good, good. Getting closer and closer to the 2020 championship season.
I'm anticipating. Now, let me ask you this. I'm anticipating a lot of eyebrows raised because they're picked to win anywhere from 79 to 85. What's a better number if you're going to pick a win total for this Milwaukee Brewers team?
Mid to upper 80s, I find it hard to believe they're not going to compete. I just do, and they'll have to prove me wrong on that. I'm super excited about this. I think that bet you're talking about, the over and under number, some are as low as the lower 80s, and I think it's just have them mail you the money now. because that's going over.
They're gonna go over. Okay. No, I'm yeah. First of all, I'm with you. I agree. They're gonna go over the 80s. I'm wondering where one the home run production is gonna come from, because you lose Moose, you lose Thames, obviously Grendahl. So you've lost some power there in the lineup. Where do you think they're gonna make it up?
Well, we might be seeing just a little shift in their philosophy a little bit, where not reliant on that home run ball. I mean, this team has the potential, Bill, of, you know, get used to two-run doubles all year, because I think it's got that potential, because they're a very flexible lineup. You consider facing a left-hander, let's say Quintana, for example, of the Cubs. I mean, you're going to throw Garcia, Lorenzo Cain at him. Ryan Braun's going to be in that lineup. Jerko's going to be in that lineup. Omar Navarro's the catcher. Keston Hira is going to be in that lineup. Against lefties, they're going to do well. So the versatility, maybe it's a pinball-type team. They're just going to hit gappers all year long, and I would take that.
Which I would, too. You know why? Because it's small ball and it's exciting. I mean, that's the reason. I mean, we were talking about this the other day, that, you know, it has become, if you look at the numbers, and I'm going through all these baseball analytics and all this kind of stuff, and part of the problem with baseball in general is you don't see enough doubles and triples. All you see is guys swinging for the fences and striking out. That's it.
And maybe they have thought about that in roster construction. I mean, it's possible. Now, again, we all know that launch angle and the ball is just jumping as of late, but at some point, doesn't there have to be a shift, Bill? Because we've seen it both ways. We've seen the launch era years ago, and then it leveled off a little bit. Now it's back. Yeah. Does it come back down?
I think everything's cyclical. We know that. But I think so many teams are being constructed via analytics now and not being constructed versus the eyeball test or the actual player. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think I've had a conversation with some of the front office guys about that, and they always come up with the same answer. It's a balance. It's a balance between the two. So who leans where, that's philosophical. But this they could have cracked another code. One of the codes they cracked was, in this market, with what they've got to work with financially, being a highly competitive baseball team. Now, does it equate to a World Series ring on fingers? Not yet. But I think it's leaning in that direction for sure.
With Ryan Braun and the uncertainty as to what the outfield is going to look like, how many games do you see Ryan Braun playing over at first base versus the outfield?
Again, that flexibility, that's going to be due to unforeseen injuries. It could be due to someone's lack of production out there, which would have to be Garcia then. Because, I mean, that would be the guy he would replace. And we'll see. I think it's a platoon situation between Garcia, Braun, and Smoke at first base, left field. I think that's what it comes down to. Braun had a great year last year. He really did. You look at the numbers. They are really good. If you can get close to that this year, that's going to be super good for the crew.
I want to know the catching aspect of this, because you lose Grendahl. And he was solid, you know. I mean, obviously brought some stick, but at the end of the season, his stick was tailing off a little bit. But because for a while, he was hitting like 340, and we knew that wasn't going to remain. But then he ends up dropping down to about 240, 250. But behind the plate and up the gut, that's kind of where your team is judged. So if you've got good stick behind the plate, and we believe Keston Hira is going to have another solid season, at least from what we saw out of him. And then we obviously know that Lorenzo Cain's got to bounce back. I think between the catching prowess and the shortstop, those two positions can put this team over the top, or could be the boat anchor that drags it down.
Yeah, and I'm okay with the new acquisition in Navarez. I like him a lot. And, you know, his offensive numbers are really good, too. He's one of the better hitting catchers in that AL, or was. And so between that and Manny Pena, does excellent against left-handers. I mean, he's going to get a lot of starts against lefties for sure offensively. But I don't have a problem with that. Navarro's on-base percentage is good. I think that Brewers fans need to be introduced to these guys, don't you think?
I do.
I mean, yeah, because there's so much roster turnover, it is very rare that you got 14 players gone off this playoff roster from last year. That's a big, big number.
Talking with Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Post Game Show, joining us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Now the pitching rotation. We all know it comes down to pitching. So here's the question is, are you comfortable with Woodruff and Hauser and Anderson and Lindblom and Lauer? How strongly do you feel about that rotation?
They're going to need things to go right. They definitely are. And you don't know where the outlier sits here. You don't know about a Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta, Shelby Miller. Just waiting in the wings there, Bill. You know, they're going to be, I would say, within the first three times through the rotation, you may see a different man in that rotation. I mean, this is going to be an evolution thing for this team. Lindblom, I mean, I would assume he's for sure given the car keys to hopefully what'll be 31 starts for him. But if he gets hurt or if there's a lack of production there, they do have a little depth there. We're gonna have to have some things go right. Let's put it that way.
Some of the most intriguing things coming into this season obviously revolve around what the Brewers do, and the number one thing being the use of pitchers. Because the Brewers get the out-getters, and they get a guy that comes in, throw a couple of strikes, and then he's done, and then the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy. I'm going to be real interested to see how Craig Counsell now takes analytics and transfers that to the actual use of his pitching staff to get them in and out of innings if they don't have guys that go at least six on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and that's what it's got to come down to. It makes life a lot easier in that bullpen if the starter starts chewing up some more innings. But it will be interesting, and it's sort of that in-game management strategy that I'm looking forward to this year with that rule change. You got to face a minimum three hitters unless the inning ends. So the old Mike Matheny days of five consecutive batters facing five different pitchers, you can't do that anymore. So right. It's going to be interesting. Does the intentional walk go up to get a matchup with two outs and nobody on to get that matchup you want and get out of that inning? We'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
That was the thing that I was thinking about. What is the byproduct of all of this going to be? And I think you're absolutely right. I think it's going to be maybe the intentional, unintentional walk. Mm-hmm. You're going to see that more often just to get through a guy so they can put a guy on so they can get the matchup they want or the analytics they want. And the one thing I find interesting is that managers, as much as I want to give Craig Counsell a ton of credit, and I really, really do, managers are no longer managing via the gut and via, you know, their baseball into it, so to speak. Now they're being told from managerial positions above, whether it's presidents or whether it's general managers, here's the numbers and here's the way we're going to approach these games. Do you like the way the game of baseball is kind of trending?
I think it's that combination. We have to have the same philosophy between the field manager and the general manager in terms of that construction and what type of player. Use the analytics, but the field manager is going to say, well, how do I use that? I see a hole here. Here's what I see. So there's got to be that balance between the two, and they will tell you that. I mean, it's tough. You and I being our age, and not that we're old codgers, but we wanted to see the game played on the field, and we still do to a degree. We also know that information is key as well, and they're utilizing the information, but it's got to be a connection with the field manager.
Also, Tim, when you talk about some of the guys that have to produce, now obviously, you know, the straw that stirs the drink is Christian Yelich, but what is the confidence in Lorenzo Cain bouncing back and Orlando Arcia bouncing back and, you know, a guy like Sogard, you know, playing over at third base, you know, his ability to kind of bounce back and give them something this year?
Offensively, I like it probably more than any other aspect, although I do like the bullpen, and I don't know if we have time to get into that, but the bullpen is going to be a strength here, despite, you know, some changes out there. But offensively, Bill, I just don't have a problem with this team, and they'd have to prove that wrong to me. I do believe matchups are going to play a key. Now, you asked about Orlando Arcia. I'm not as confident with him as I am with Lorenzo Cain. Cain, I still believe, was stumbling through some injuries last year, and that really affected things. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty confident with Lorenzo Cain, a little less on Arcia.
That was going to be my next question, and you touched on it, and we just got a minute here. But tell me why you believe the bullpen is going to be the strength again this season.
I think people sleep on Corey Knebel. I think people are sleeping on a guy named Bobby Wall. I think guys are sleeping on Brent Suter. Look what Brent Suter did last year. Coming off Tommy John, Bill. This guy was outstanding. And he wasn't necessarily the starter that's going to go 5 2/3 for you. But he's going to go 3 innings when you want it, when you need it, emergency start. I love the bullpen. And Josh Hader. I mean, he's the key to everything out there.
Always good to chat, my friend. I appreciate you joining us. Looking forward to the season, and we're going to talk a lot more down the road, buddy, okay?
You got it, Bill. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Tim Allen. Tim Allen joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE to go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE to go to schneiderjobs.com. What are you looking to do tonight? If you're looking for a great place to go, stop out to the Social House, maybe before or after, or even for a meal, if you're going to do something for Valentine's, or maybe tomorrow as well. Go out and get yourself a beverage ahead of time. The highly acclaimed Cheese Curd Burglar. The burger, actually. Cheese Curd Burger. There you have it. You can get it there. Not the burglar, but the burger. Get that there, and that'll, if you don't have anybody, that'll fill your heart right then and there. You can buy a drink on Sunday morning, get yourself some free pancakes as well. That's our friends at the Social House, West Lisbon Road in Menomonee Falls. And stop in and tell them we sent you. Don't forget, tailgating season almost upon us, and that means Usinger's. Whether it's the brats or the sausages, the Italians, whatever it happens to be, they've got it, and they've got so much good stuff. Just pick it up at any local grocery store and stick with the hometown team. Stick with Usinger. Go to Usinger, Usinger.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Tiger Woods got the shadow right on top of his golf ball, an opening eagle attempt that will go right to left. 25 feet down the hill, very quick. It's got to bend a little bit, and it's bending. And the early fist pump. The eagle has landed at the first for Tiger Woods.
Yo, Tiger Woods yesterday, dropping it early. He ends up shooting a 69 on the day. Nice tribute to Kobe Bryant.
That putt, the distance.
Yeah.
You heard the announcer say 25 feet.
Yeah.
To be exact, it was 24 feet, 8 inches. Those were Kobe Bryant's numbers.
Yes.
On the opening hole
mm-hmm.
at Riviera in Los Angeles, I am still blown away by that.
Yeah.
I think that is just, that is really, again, really eerie when it comes to Kobe Bryant and the spirit of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, you'd like to say that something like that was planned. You know what I mean? Look, Kobe Bryant, since he died in the helicopter crash, I mean, he's iconic. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out a way to do something more. Sometimes I think it's while it's wonderful, Tiger has certainly spoken about Kobe Bryant. It's interesting that it was 24 feet, 8 inches. I get it. I think sometimes we're looking for something that, like, there's got to be some kind of higher power sign or something. I don't know. I mean, when I read that, I thought, well, that's cool. That's a great coincidence. And people are like, no, it's no coincidence. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Who am I to say? But I think the fact that Kobe, the Tiger spoke about Kobe in such high regard means more than hitting a putt from 24 feet, 8 inches, which I think is cool. And I agree with you. It can raise the hair on your arms. But if he would have walked up and said, hey, this hole's for Kobe, before he teed off, then we would have all went, wow. What a moment. I think it's cool that it happened, but I think there's people looking for things that you're just trying to make something out of something, I guess. I don't know.
But how can you not be
I agree with you, but there was such a big deal made about it, and I understand it, but I appreciated the words that Tiger said more so than him hitting a 24 foot 8 inch putt. Maybe I'm just callous that way. I don't know. I think the outpouring of support, and like I said, had he walked to the tee box and put his club on the ground and then kind of, you know, the microphones catch him muttering, "This one's for you, Kobe," and then he hits a 24-foot, 8-inch putt, then it's like, okay, holy mackerel, you know. But I do, I mean, I do think it's cool. I don't get me wrong. I don't want to diminish it. But it was the Tiger Woods, the subtle flick of the wrist tribute to Kobe Brown, I thought was really cool. And, oh, by the way, did you see the eighth green with the number 8 on the flag stick?
Yeah.
The flag, that was really cool, because the flag looked like the back of Kobe Bryant's jersey. That was really cool. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do so. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to kind of sit back, and again, I want to talk about this Astros thing. And if you're the commissioner, what are you doing? I think there's something to be discussed there, because I think baseball fans are left with their arms out going, what the hell, you know?
But that doesn't make us a bad person.
It's not. We're not bad people. In addition to that, Sean Morris of the Big Ten Network is going to be joining us. Steve Zocchi, host of the Final Inspection, is going to talk some Daytona 500. Racing starts this weekend as well. Plus, don't forget, coming up here in about an hour and 10 minutes from now, going to hear from Jim Paschke, the Bucks television play-by-play voice. He's going to be joining us as well on this All-Star weekend. Stay tuned. A whole lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.